somewhere else. I wrote some stuff down. Sherry, you don't happen to have that yellow tablet, do you, that I had in my bag? And Caleb was talking about lust, and Dave Young, who's an evangelist, and he kind of specializes in youth ministry. He was talking about the pornography epidemic and it was some statistics he had just blew me away. Now they're finding out kids as young as 11 years old, the average age for somebody viewing pornography is 11 years old. I forgot, it's something like, I want to say 30 million dollar a year industry, something like that. It was 16,000 hits on porn sites every second. I don't know. I have it written down. I'll try to get some stats on you on that. And so, it's a problem in the church too, because when you got that many million people viewing it, you know church members are doing it too. And so he talked to us about that. And, one of the things that he talked about was young kids. If you give your young kid a cell phone, a smartphone, you just gave them access to 30 million porn sites, something like that. It's a big figure. If that's, I got it all written down somewhere else. You're just giving them open access to instantly, millions of porn sites instantly. They don't need a smartphone. All they need is we grew up, we didn't even have a regular phone. We didn't even have a dime to make the phone call at the payphone with, which wasn't a bad deal sometimes. Couldn't find a phone. But, they just need a regular phone. Don't, think about what you're doing. You're giving your child access, computers in the room, stuff like that. So they had a lot of discussion about that and talked about, the harm and this and that. It was a good lesson for everybody involved. And, Caleb had the guts to admit that. And, thank you for that. And they did interviews with even just church kids and, got them anonymous things to get a lot of the stats together about that. And this is good. The prayer advances for the men, women, students, couples, they get down to just, brass tacks issues that's on the front line today, stuff we don't want to talk about. We don't want to talk about pornography, but it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. I think they said there's a new porn video made every 3 seconds. A new video every 3 seconds. That's unbelievable, man. So in the amount of time we've been here tonight, we're in the hundreds already. Hundreds already. And so the industry's big and stuff like that. And so, the best thing is guard yourself, protect yourself, and help you out with that. And so I'll try to come up. I got my papers wrote down on some notes and all. I hadn't strung all that stuff together. And I got some real good information just on prayer, our prayer time and that too. And I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. I got a little message together for you this afternoon. Now, this is more like a teaching thing, a practical lesson. I think this will help us some. So I just got one verse, and it's Philippians 3:10. I'll give you a second to get there. Philippians 3:10. And that verse says there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the night and the testimonies that we've heard so far from our teens. And we thank you for speaking to their hearts so far, and ask you now to speak to ours. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you, to your word, to your house, Lord. And help us to get victory over things in our life. Everybody's dealing with different things in their life, Lord, but we know you're greater than them all. Lord, help us to be God-focused, not problem-focused in our life. And so we'll put that before you tonight. Now speak to us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is just Practical Ways to Focus Daily on the Cross. Was speaking to this morning, went to Isaiah 53. We're looking at the cross, the crucifixion. Been reading a couple of books. I'm reading another book. The guy's kind of a Calvinist, but he's not talking about that in the book I'm reading. But It's the cross-centered life, getting our life focused back on the cross of Jesus Christ and get centered on that. So I want to help us do that in some things. The key part of this verse where he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I might know him. I spoke this morning about not forgetting the price that Jesus paid for our salvation, to help us not become complacent, become indifferent, to be cold, just get dead. And, we had a little flurry of revival sort of back in March, and we had a revival and some people got saved or at least made professions and people were on excited. And Harold asked me, we were going up sidewalk there one of the days there to prayer advance. He said, well, how's it going? How's the church going? I said, well, I can't say that this hasn't happened, but I believe the tide's gone out just a little bit. The wave came in, and I believe she's gone out a little bit. Not totally, but I don't see, we're kind of on a different direction right now. And, Brian and I talked about it. Brian said, well, he just believed when the wave come back, it'll be bigger than it was the last time. That may be, but we got to pray about it. But, I mean, let's just be real. We're humans, and you're not going to be on the mountaintop all the time. You're not going to be on the mountaintop all the time. And I know, I don't care. I remember years ago when we were on the other side, I hadn't been pastoring too long. Some of y'all that's been here the whole time, I remember, man, we had a Sunday, it seemed like somebody was getting saved every Sunday. We were like six out of seven Sundays, people getting saved, joining the church. And I remember telling myself then, I was smarter than I give myself credit for, but I said, you know what, this isn't going to last forever. It's not going to last forever, and it's not. And when we got into revival, I was thinking, man, this is great. You try to hold on to it as long as you can, but you got Satan that's resisting you. Satan's fighting you. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those three things that you're battling all the time. And then we start to get a little careless. We're up on the mountaintop. We think it's not going to hurt to maybe not read my Bible today. It's not going to hurt if I don't go to that meeting tonight. It's not going to hurt. But, those things will take their toll somehow. You kind of start drifting just a little bit. And I can see that. How do we counter that? What happens to us is you get excited about revivals. You go to meetings and this and that. But the reality of everyday life starts to sink in. Somebody described it this way, talking about being on fire for God. And then they said there's the drizzle of everyday life. That's kind of a good picture. It's a gloomy, drizzly day. The drizzle of everyday life sets in. So what do we do about that? One thing we know, we are creatures of habit. We look around where you're sitting and all. Talk about that. And we got other habits in life too. I shared with you the other day. I said, I know what I'll do first thing in the morning. I'll go in there and punch the button on the coffee pot to make it start running. That's going to do that. We're just creatures of habit. And each day is made up of habits that revolve around what really matters to us, what really matters to it, or sometimes necessity type things that we have to do. Now, we talk about, I'm reading this book, The Cross-Centered Life. And this comes up. The cross-centered life is made up of cross-centered days. The cross-centered life is made up of cross-centered days. And so, there's some practical ways that to keep the flame of the gospel burning in that humdrum realities of life. Some things that we can do. And I'm going to give you a few pointers on that. One of the things that we do is we can do this. We can preach to ourselves. Preach to ourselves and remind ourselves of the gospel and that's the most important daily habit that we can have is just think about every day. We looked at that video this morning, the price Jesus paid. But there's a lot more to the gospel than that. That was him paying the price. But there's the good news. I mean, the resurrection at the end of that, we saw the resurrection and the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel, the power to live in a we can live a victorious Christian life. Sometimes, we get so... And I want to talk about this a lot on Wednesday night when we have our prayer meeting. But our life can get so problem-centered, even though we're Christians, even though we know what God can do, we can get so problem-centered that it just about drags us down because we're not God-centered or cross-centered to know that we can have victory over all those things, those problems in our life. And so we want to, get to that. Not get problem-centered, but get God-centered. So we want to remind ourselves of the gospel every day. That's a good habit to have right there. But, it's the greatest news in the world. You'll not get any greater news than what's in this Bible right here. That is the greatest news in the world. And, we need to think about that. Grab your attention with that every day, first thing in the morning. And, what matters most is this in life. What matters most? You're forgiven and you have hope. Those two things right there. You get up every morning. You can say tomorrow morning, if you think about this, if you want to get a cross-centered day, a day that's going to add up to a cross-centered life, you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what, I'm forgiven and that I got hope. No matter what's out there in front of you, I've got hope because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I got this thought in my mind when we pray. I tell the men that. I got it from Harold, but he'll send me texts every now and then. He'll say, pray believing. Pray believing. When you pray, just believe. You got to believe. And sometimes it takes some time. And so, like I say, get God focused and not problem focused. And I'm going to give you five ways tonight, five ways to help us draw close to the cross every day. Five ways to help us draw close to the cross every day. Listen, this isn't any supernatural hocus pocus thing. These are just practical things. Because we talk about it. We talked with the kids at Bible camp. Remember, Caleb, we were talking. We said, hey, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go back home, right? We're not going to be in a meeting every day, all day, every day. You got to go back home, and you're going to be at your house, and you're going to be at school here just a few days. Y'all going to go back to school. You're going to be in school with mostly lost kids. You got the friends that we talked about. You got that going on. Those of us here, tomorrow y'all going to go to work. You got your job. You got to do your job. You got things. You got to drive. You're out there. You're living in a world that's full of lost people. You're living in a world that doesn't know the love of God for the most part. You might be the only Christian on your job. You've got problems. You've got family problems. You got personal problems. You got children problems. You got job problems. You got health problems. You got all kind of problems out there. That's just the reality of life. So what do we got to do? We got to do something practically. We've got to do something every day to help us get focused on the cross for that day. And then when you do that every day, guess what? Those days turns into weeks and then months and then years, and then you're going to have a cross-centered life. So this is practical stuff. It's probably nothing that you didn't, if you thought about it yourself, you'd know what it is. Think about it. And that's what we're going to go through. Just got five things for you. Number one, memorize the gospel. Memorize the gospel. Now, they talked about this at the prayer at the prayer advance there. I think Dave Young talked about it. Said he was trying to memorize the 119th Psalm. Said he can't get, that's the longest Psalm in the Bible. He said he can't memorize it. He said, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get that. He wants to memorize it. There are people, believe it or not, there's people out there that have the whole Bible memorized. You name any verse of Scripture, they can quote it to you. Jack Van Epi, he used to be on TV. Some might be on one of them old things now. Jack Van Epi, they used to call him the walking Bible. He memorized the whole Bible. Man, how do you memorize the whole Bible? Well, you got to read it. That's a good place to start. You got to do it one verse at a time. One verse at a time. And you know what? You might say, well, man, I'm probably one of them. I haven't been great. I didn't get saved. I was 31, so I started late. But there's some verses that stick in my mind. I struggle with some of the ones we ought to know. So now, as far as getting them word for word, because I'm a stickler for getting it like it's supposed to be. But you know what? Memorize. Just start with a verse. Memorize one verse. You get that thing down, go to the next one. I mean, when you die, you might only have 10 of them down, but you'll have 10 of them down. And you can get some verses that's going to apply to you that'll help you along the way. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's pretty easy right there, isn't it? Huh? Psalm 119:11. I just said it. Anybody memorize already? Tell me, Stanley. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. Stanley is world famous for not having a good memory. Okay? I mean, let's just be real, being honest, I'm not picking on him, not making fun of him, but I don't know how he makes it home at night. But Stanley knows a lot of verses in the Bible. Stanley knows a lot of verses in the Bible. That guy can memorize that stuff. Can't remember nothing else. That's right. That's right. And so, but you know what? If Stanley can memorize, what I'm trying to use you as a good illustration is if he can memorize, we can memorize, huh? Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Everybody got that? Let me hear y'all say. What psalm is it? Look at that. We already done it. We already got it. Pop quiz on Wednesday night and next Sunday night, pop quiz on memorizing scripture verse. Okay? We're going to check you out on that. 119:11. I might pop you at the end of the thing, so everybody be turning their Bible to Psalm 119. They got it laying there, right? But see, look at that. That's a short verse. It's not real long. You can memorize that. And so what did even the verse that you memorized, what did it say? What does it mean? See, it's one thing to memorize, another thing to know it. What does it mean? Thy word have I hid in my heart. How do you hide God's word in your heart? Memorize it. Yeah, you can read it. Don't mean you have it hid in your heart. Memorize it means you got it hidden in your heart. You got to memorize. So if you got it in and you memorize the scripture, you got it hidden in your heart, that thing will come in handy one day. Huh? That thing will come in handy one day. And you know, if we're stored in our, if we have the Word of God stored in our heart, no matter where we are or what we're doing, we can break that out when we need it. Just think if you had some Bible verses and you had them stored in your heart and you got locked in prison, you got stranded on a desert island, you would have some of the Word of God. At least you could remember those things right there. And so it's not too late. You know, you got to start somewhere. There's some good verses out there to memorize. I wrote some of these down. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. How about Romans 3:23? I know you know that, Stanley. Go ahead and lay it on. Romans 3:23. There you go. There you know about that. John 3:16. Everybody know that one, right? Huh? Amen. You got John 3:16. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's a good verse for you right there on the resurrection. We were talking about that this morning. And I like these verses here, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And here's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, Ephesians 1:13-14. Two verses there. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Man, I love that verse right there. That's my I can lose my salvation verse right there. If somebody believes you can lose your salvation, take them to that verse right there. Sealed unto the day of redemption. Huh? How about that? That's a good verse. So, you know, anybody, we can memorize something. And like I said, other people, you know, we've already seen some of you probably have some things memorized. Just expand it. So, and this is a great thing about it. What are you going to have to do to memorize a scripture verse? And then read it again and say it out loud. Probably saying it out loud is good. So what does that mean you're doing every day in order to memorize scripture? You're reading the Bible, right? Are we getting on a cross-centered life here? Huh? It's getting you centered at least for a little bit of time, right? You're getting centered. So that'll help you right there. So number one, try to memorize the gospel. Memorize some scripture verses. Memorize the salvation ones is good. Memorize our theme now is thinking about the cross and thinking about what Jesus did for us. Memorize the verses that have to do with the crucifixion and the resurrection. Okay? Then you want to be a soul winner. You want to lead people to Christ. Memorize the one that have to do with getting saved. You know, that'd be a good place for you to go right there. Okay, here's the second thing that you can do. Pray the gospel. Pray the gospel. Memorize the gospel, pray the gospel. You know, when we pray, the gospel should be at the center of our prayer life because it makes it possible for us to approach God in the first place. And we can thank God when we pray. We can thank God for forgiveness of sins. Acknowledge Jesus' work on the cross when we pray. That's what makes it possible. We can thank God that we'll never be separated from His love. That's in the Bible. This is praying the gospel. We can thank God for His Holy Spirit, that He gave us His Holy Spirit. You know, so much of our prayer time is really consumed with request. Requests, and usually in the physical sense right there. But boy, you get to thanking God and to praising God. And we did some of this before in our prayer meetings, but we always get top heavy on requests for physical things. But boy, you could spend the Lord's Prayer. He said, when you pray, pray like this. It wasn't necessarily the direct prayer, but it was an outline. He said, our Father who art in heaven. See, what's he talking about? He's talking about the majesty of God. Hallowed be thy name. Man, this is praise. You're praising God. Spend some time praising God. That's a good thing to do. I've heard this said. They said if you ever get depressed, anybody ever get depressed? Huh? You get one of them drizzly, gloomy days. You get them days. You know what will get you out of it? Just start praising God. You just start praising God for who he is, what he's done. You'll never get to the request. Just praise God. But we have the gospel wrapped up in that. Ask God this. Ask God to bless you with everything you need to obey and glorify him. There's a good request for you right there. Ask God to bless you with everything you need to obey and glorify him. And the gospel should be woven through our praise, our petitions, that's when we're asking, and our intercession when we're praying for somebody else. Those things ought to be. The gospel ought to be there. So how are you going to do it? It goes back to memorizing the gospel. You have to have some gospel memorized to use it in your prayer, intertwine that in there as well. So here's two. These are just nuts and bolts of having a cross-centered life, a cross-centered day, things that we need to do as we pray. Then, see how the gospel's in there? Sing the gospel. Sing the gospel. Boy, singing songs. How many of you like to sing when you get happy? Huh? You get some whistling around. I heard old Jacob in the shower there. We were all in the hotel room. Every time Jacob got in the shower, he must be happy taking a shower. That's all I know. He was in there whistling and singing, and we were all looking, thinking, man, what is he? He was singing along in there, so he was feeling pretty good about that. You sing, sing songs that draw attention to the cross. Sing songs that draw attention to his sacrifice, the blood, Jesus himself. I wanted to sing Power of the Cross tonight, but I couldn't. We did Power of Your Love because the Power of the Cross. I couldn't find the tape and the words for that. But there's a good song. We sang that Gordon Moats song. Everybody loves it. Oh, the blood, man. I mean, singing. I can get that song in my brain. Oh, the blood of Jesus, cleanses me. Watch, man, I get that song in my head. I can't get it out. It's just going around and around and around. Oh, the blood. Get some songs. Get them in your head. Listen to them when you're driving. Maybe if you work where you can do that. We need to sing the gospel as well. This is something that's going to give you a cross-centered life. Then, here's a great one here, the fourth thing. Review how the gospel has changed you. Review how the gospel has changed you. Sometimes we move on from the past, but we don't forget the past. They say if you forget history, that you'll repeat mistakes in history. We think back. We think back sometimes to how you were. How has God changed you since you got saved? That's not a bad thing to think back on sometimes. You think back about that and see where God has brought you. I mean, that'll help you. Sometimes you doubt your salvation. You think back, man, look where I was before I got saved. And God has brought me to this point right here. And, let it remind you of how marvelous the grace of God is. Paul talked about this. He said, man, at one time I was a blasphemer. He said, I was a persecutor. I was an opponent of God. I consented to the death of Christians. I had men and women cast into prison. When you read that account where he talked about that, he wrote that 30 years after his salvation. But every now and then he'd remember that. He said, man, I used to persecute the church. I was a blasphemer. Man, I was a murderer. He thought about that. Why? Because it makes the grace of God look that much bigger. It really got things focused on that. He recounted that. An ongoing awareness of our sin reminds us of the grace of God. An ongoing awareness of our sin reminds us of the grace of God. And it also keeps us dependent upon grace. Keeps us dependent upon grace. God intervened in our life. If you're saved, God intervened in your life. You don't want to forget that. See where you were. You know what I think about sometimes? I think about where I would have been had I not got saved by now. Man, I've seen some people I know that they're about the same age as me. But they're not, you know, they just kept living the old lifestyle that I used to be involved in. And I see them and I think, good night. I got a friend of mine right now, Kevin. Kevin and I are the same age. Kevin's dying. I've asked y'all to pray for him on a prayer request. Every day they have a GoFundMe account, medical bills. Kevin worked for himself. I doubt he's got much for insurance and that. Did a little remodeling jobs. And, you know, we grew up just four houses down the road. We lived in the same. Our parents bought the houses brand new in 1959, and we all moved in there. I was 4 years old. 1959 tells you how old I am. And, you know, Kevin didn't get saved and lived a life, lived a lot of a rough life. And, buddy, I'll tell you, he looks it, too. I mean, you see Kevin, he looks like he's 20 years older than I am. We're the exact same age. Y'all pray for him. He's got a tumor sitting on top of his heart. And it's pressing down on his heart and on his chest so bad he can't breathe very well. Smoked cigarettes all his life. Still smoking them. His wife says he smokes four packs a day. Got a tumor on top of his heart. I mean, he's going to kill him. Might as well. I mean, it's going to kill him right now. But y'all pray for him. I look at the GoFundMe to see if she has written, you know, if she's, when I see an update, I'm almost afraid to read it, you know, and which she probably will call us. But, If he passed away, but any time, any day. I mean, taking 400 milligrams of hydrocodone every day, or every 4 hours, 40 milligrams every 4 hours. That's a lot. And so, but you know what? That would have been me. That could have been me. Just as easy. Not all your health problems is because you didn't live a good life, but, I mean, you just see folks that had rough lives, and look back, that could have been me, except for the grace of God. And I thank God that he saved me, man. I mean, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. I'm, you know, thank God for that. God saved me out of all that mess right there. And, you know, that's why I look so good. That's the secret to it. Listen, God is holy, and at one time we were an object of his wrath. We were separated from God. We were sinners, you know. We were, even though he loved us, and he is not willing that any should perish, but we certainly, he didn't pour his wrath out on us yet, but he will one day on the sinners. And that we were objects of his wrath, and we were lost. And then another thing, reviewing how far God has brought us, encourage us to keep on keeping on. So, He got me this far, right? I mean, you look around and say, well, I'm still here. You know, how many of you've heard this probably? I probably said it. Sometimes you're in a trial of life. You're in a problem. And boy, it just seems like, oh man, I don't know. I can't see the end. I don't see how I'm going to get out of it. But then like 6 months down the road, you know, that you pass. It passes. I came through, right? I came through. And then you know that, of course, you know how life is. There's another obstacle, and there's another mountain, and you know, but after a while, you know what you keep saying? You know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still getting the victory. I'm still living. I'm still breathing. Man, I had that problem, that problem, that problem. Guess what? That's why, you know what? God brought me through all of them. Huh? God brought me through all of them. So you can review those things in life. You look back and review how the gospel has changed you, and review how the gospel, what the gospel's doing for you, what the gospel has done for you. And then the fifth thing, real easy one right here. We kind of went with the first one. Study the gospel. Study the gospel. Now listen, let me help you right here. To grow in your passion for what Jesus has done, increase your understanding of what he has done. To grow in your passion for what Jesus has done, increase your understanding of what he has done. Now, this is a biggie right here, and this is a problem I see in churches all over the place, or with Christians a lot of places. Never be content with your current grasp of the gospel. That means never be content with what you know. Because, see, you're not going to exhaust it. Man, you can go to 4 years of Bible college and 4 years of seminary and pastor a church for 20 years, and you're still not going to know it. Never be content with your knowledge of the gospel. And listen, I'll ask people all the time, you know, will you study? Yeah, I'm studying the Bible. And I ask them this, say, well, what are you using to help you study? Nothing. Well, are you an expert student of Greek? Well, no. Well, you better find something to help you study the gospel, because there's words and there's deeper meanings and there's people that know that stuff. Like I don't know. I can't speak Greek. I don't even know nothing Greek that I know of. But I can study people who studied Greek, and they can explain the words to me just a little bit better. And there's people out there that have, they're wise, they have knowledge, man, and you can glean from them. So let me encourage you this right here. Listen, get some good commentaries, Bible commentaries, get them. There's some good godly men. There's some commentaries that were written by groups of professors at some of the top-notch Bible seminaries in the world. That have commented on sections of the Bible, and you get a hard passage in there and you don't actually, you know, look and see, you know, look and see, you know, study that. What does that word mean? Get those commentaries. If you don't know any, see me. I can recommend some good commentaries for you. You can get them over here to Scripture Truth, man, some good ones, and I've got different sets of them. I got a Bible, I got a CD that goes in my computer. It's got like, I got like 10 of them at my disposal just like that. I can look at all of them. I can take one verse and go to every commentary, see what they said about it, and see what, if there's meanings of the words. Sometimes just in the tense of a sentence, you know, what tense it's written in. It may appear one way in English, but in original Greek, it was, or Hebrew or Aramaic, it was in the tense, had something to do. Nouns, pronouns, this and that. I wasn't an English major, but I can see, you know, I can look those things up and find out. So get some commentaries to help you study the Word. It'll help you so much, you know, to get deeper into the Word of God. And I'll tell you another thing, it's not a bad idea to have. I got one of them too. I got a dictionary. Get a dictionary. You go in there, there's some words on there. Okay, sanctification. What does that mean? That's, you read in the Bible song, you see these big words. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, look it up. This is studying. This is studying the Word of God. Sometimes I look up words that I kind of know what, I got an idea what it means. I could use it in a sentence, but I don't know the full meaning of the word, so I get the dictionary out and look at it, because sometimes in a context it'll change what the meaning of it is. And so sometimes when I want to preach to you guys and I got a certain word in the text, I look it up. You hear me say, this is what the definition is. And I pull out the part of the definition that applies to the verse. I'll say, this is what I knew it, but I wanted to see what the dictionary said. Just some big words. So don't let big words in the Bible scare you. Learn. Look them up. You know, justification, propitiation. Somebody, you know, if I say, well, give me a definition of propitiation. Well, I don't, it's in the Bible. Propitiation's in the Bible. Look it up. Look it up and see what it says. And that'll help you. Then all of a sudden, now you understand some things. And then make that, when you study, this is studying the Word of God. It's not really how much you read. Sometimes I don't read. Sometimes I can look at 3-4 verses and see how deep. Look, tonight I'm only preaching off one. I can look and see how deep that is and study that. Get a dictionary. This is practical, everyday stuff. And then make it a daily habit. Daily habit. These are practical things. Memorize the gospel. Pray the gospel. Sing the gospel. Review how the gospel's changed. You study the gospel. Now here's a couple other things in closing. Just practical things that'll help you along. I told this to the young people. Hang around other Christian folks. Huh? Listen, you can't be elevated by hanging with somebody that's way down here. If you're here, you got to get with somebody that's here. You know, try to get with somebody that can increase your knowledge. Increase your knowledge. And that'll help you grow. It'll encourage you. This will encourage you in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. Hang around other Christians. And then discuss the gospel. Just discuss things. Stay in church. Like I said this morning, listen, man, if we come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if you add up the time and then add up the rest of the week hours, you're away from other Christian folks a lot of times, a lot more hours than you are with. So even if you do all that. So even, you know, get with other Christian folks. Hey, we got these other little, it was crazy. One of the classes at the Prayer Advance, and it was for the leaders, so Danielle and Brian sharing me, we go to those things. And it was one of the classes they went to, and they said, hey, this is some stuff that churches can do, churches can use, and they can do other things. And one of the things was, they said, we'll start some home groups and some cell groups. Well, we done that. We got Tuesday night. Ladies, Tuesday night, encourage ladies, if you've never been up to our house for the thing, try it out. You like it, man. It's low key, man. They eat food and everything. Me and Brian run in there to see if there's any snacks left over when we get back. Most of the time there's not. But we go in there, but you know, we already doing that. it kind of just it gets you, you know, because sometimes this seems like so formal. You know, we're at church and we're all sitting there prim and proper. But, you know, you get there, you can kick back and you got your shoes off. But see, it ought to be like that every, you know, every day you're around other Christian folks, Christian friends. Go out with Christian friends do that. So, you know, hang around other Christian folks and discuss the gospel, stay in church. And then this is a big one. Pray every day that God will fill you with His Spirit. Pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit every single day. You know, that's the one thing missing in most of our services. I got to thinking tonight, I don't think the men, we didn't get together and pray for the service tonight, did we? It feels like we did. Huh? We can remember everything else, but we can't remember that. Stanley, I want you to memorize that. We didn't do it, did we? But we ought to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit each day. And that God can use us somehow. Hey, I'll tell you, pray. Ask God to let you witness to somebody every day. Ask God to put somebody in your path. You'd be surprised how God answers that prayer. Amen. I mean, you're thinking, there's no way today with my schedule that I'm going to cross paths with anybody. You could be out in the middle of a desert somewhere doing some kind of work and say, God, I'm not going to pray somebody will cross my path that he witnessed to because I know I'm not going to see anybody. You pray and see if somebody don't pop up out of a groundhog hole somewhere or something. Huh? God just works it out. When you really ask Him for it, it just happens. So those are practical things, amen, that you can just do to have your life centered on the gospel every single day. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, man, there's like, you know, I read commentaries when I'm looking at verses like, sometimes, I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. I know what it means, but you can read commentaries and see. Matthew Henry, he probably wrote around in the 1600s. It's amazing what that guy knew. I mean, he turns every rock and stone over, and he'll see stuff that I never figured out sideways, which way, nothing, how he looks at stuff. And even on the verses, like I say, stuff that you think, well, there's not that much that deep. But I read verses sometime, and I'm thinking, man, there's something in there. I want to see what other... And then sometimes I tell you what, this is how it goes too with the commentary. You get a verse or two, and man, it's like you never heard anybody preach on it, and it's got something in there. And you go through the commentaries, and man, they didn't talk about it. They skip right over it. Man, that's aggravating. So there's something in there too. There's not a verse in here that's just taking up space. You study, man, and look at that. And the commentaries are cool to read too. I mean, they really lay some stuff on you. And there's some good ones out there. They help you with studying the Word, but just don't read it, study it, meditate on it, you know, and it's a lifelong process. It's a lifetime thing. And like I say, I've got books and I got a CD and I can have them all. Sometimes I got three books laid out and I got the computer screen on one of them and I got my Bible and my notebook and I'm trying to, and then boy, before it's over with, I'll be thinking, I'm not going to have enough to preach out of these verses right there. When I get done, I said, I'll never get it all done. I'll never get it all preached by the time I get done looking at that. But it's studying and it's exciting to do that. And it'll help you in your day-to-day walk. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.